Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. We are listened to in 8 different countries from Indonesia, India, Norway, UK, Canada, and of course, the United States. So thank you everyone who is listening right now. We are a live show. And if you have any questions throughout our broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, it is 657-383-1109. My guest today is my good friend and fellow speaker, Bears Jahanian. What's up, brother?
What's going on? I'm excited to be here, man. I'm pumped up.
Dude, I am super
so
pumped. Man, I really wanted to get you on the show. Oh, not a problem, man. I really wanted to get you on here sooner, but, you know, everything works out for a reason, man. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad we get to do this. And, dude, I'm super pumped, man. I'm super pumped for my listeners to find out who you are. I'm sure some of them already do, but just to kind of see what your transformation is. And I know you got an amazing story. And man, I'm ready to get started. Man, you ready to go?
Let's go. Let's rock and roll.
Outstanding. So Bears Jahanian is a trained teacher and natural motivator. He offers a unique perspective, incorporating motivation into his teaching and teaching into his motivation, giving his audience an exclusive arsenal of tools to use in their climb to success. Trained by top speakers like Les Brown, Brendan Burchard, James Malinchak, Tom Schrader, and Blair Singer, Bears is dynamic, exciting, and engaging. Bears discovered his love for motivating others in his 20s. After he saw a PBS special featuring the now world-famous speaker, Les Brown, it immediately began his journey as a speaker. While still a high school band director, Bears cultivated his love of motivational speaking, using music as the vehicle to inspire the students in his high-powered band program to achieve lofty goals. Living by his own words, Bears made the bold decision to leave his comfortable job as a teacher and pursue his dream of being a speaker. Bears regularly speaks for corporations, colleges, universities, and student organizations, and has recently published his first book, Break Down the Walls to Success, his 31 Simple Ways to Transform Yourself and Your Business into the Life You Deserve. So if you want to know more about Bears, go to bearsspeaks.com, and you can follow him. All of his media links are all in the show notes. Dude, I'm so pumped just reading that, man. Like, I'm super energized. You left a career to pursue your dream. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny because I look at that and I think, what took me so long? What took my butt so long to get moving and actually do that? Because, you know, when I saw Les Brown, that was back in the 90s. So we're talking about over 20 years ago that I saw him on PBS and wanted to do this for all of those years, yet did nothing. I sat in inaction because of the junk that was stuck between my two ears. And when I finally straightened that out and fixed that, then I was able to take that step and take that leap of faith in myself.
Perfect. That's what we all got to do, man. So the first question that I always ask all my guests on the show is why? Why do you do what you do now? What motivates you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I listened to a little bit of your show yesterday, and when I was listening to it, what he said was, what you guys were talking about was, you know, being a speaker, and it's so cool to go to your job, and when you arrive at your job as a speaker, you're met with applause, and when you leave for the day, you're met with applause.
And yeah.
You know, that's part of what you get out of it as a speaker. You get this feeling of satisfaction, like you've done a good job and that you're appreciated for what you're doing. So that's part of what you get, that feedback that you get. That's how you get fed. But the reason I do it is because of the faces you see when people get that aha moment, when the light bulb goes off in their head. I was speaking someplace last night, and as I was looking around the room and speaking, the looks on people's faces were just one of like, wow, this is what I needed to hear. This is what I've been looking for. This is going to help me get to that next step, go to that next level for myself. This is the kind of stuff that I've been looking for. I feel like I'm being fed. And when I see that, it fuels me to give even more. And that's why I do this, because you get to change lives. You get to help people change directions. I really like to think of motivational speakers as someone we feed people momentarily, right? Because let's face it, motivation, as Zig Ziglar says, motivation doesn't last. That's why we recommend that and bathing to be done every single day, because it simply doesn't last. The problem with it, Sean, is most people think the motivation is supposed to last. They're looking for that instant fix. They're looking for that thing that's going to magically change their lives. So if I go to this event and hear this speaker, my life is going to change forever. Then when it doesn't work, they say, well, you know, motivation doesn't last. So what I tell people is motivation is a lot like eating. And when you eat, a few hours later, you're hungry again. And the only way to satisfy that hunger is to eat some more. No one is walking around saying, you know what, this eating thing, I'm giving it up. Really doesn't work. I'm hungry all the time anyway. Screw that. I'm not doing that any longer. We still do it. We understand that we've got to feed our bodies. Well, we have to feed our minds in the same way. If we want to continue growing emotionally, spiritually, and growing your mindset, you've got to constantly feed it with good stuff. Because in the same way your body gets hungry, so does your mind. As you work through the day and you deal with life, you burn that emotional energy and you need to be refueled with it. So you've got to constantly feed yourself in order to keep moving forward in happiness and joy and with a positive mindset all the time. And that's what I really enjoy, because I get to help people do that. I get to feed them maybe a bigger meal that day, and I get to direct them with where they can go and get the rest of their brain fuel.
Perfect. I like it.
Good.
Man,
and we're
so
done. We're done. That's it.
Times...
I'm perfect. Let's go.
and it's so true, because we talk about the conference hangover. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's so pumped up and everybody's so, you know, oh my God, what an amazing conference. And then they get back and they're like, I don't know what to do. You know, because it's like, you know, you get that honeymoon phase of the conference, you know, and you know, you have to keep going. Like, just because you're not at the conference doesn't mean that you stop. Like, you still have to go, you know?
And
like,
here's what that means. What that means is the folks who are going to a conference and they get that hangover afterwards, all it means is they aren't ready to take that next step by themselves, that they're looking for that. They're still looking for that quick fix. They're still looking for someone else to do it for them. They're looking for someone to wave a magic wand over them. And that simply doesn't happen. If you want to be successful, there's a dirty 4-letter word that goes along with it. That's called work. And you've got to work if you want to be successful. There are no successful people who life just hands them success. It doesn't happen that way. The sad part is we see the success, and most of us only like to talk about our success rather than our failure. And we're doing a disservice to everyone else, because they think it should be easy. And why does it happen for Sean, but it doesn't happen for me? I see he's successful. I see all these great things he's doing, and I can't seem to do that. I seem to be stuck in this work mode, and it doesn't seem to happen for me, when they don't realize that Sean worked his tail off for a long time just to get to the place where he is right now. And they didn't see that work. They didn't know about the failures. They didn't know about the struggles and the tears and the crying and the moments of doubt and the moments where you felt like you should give it all up. They don't see that. They don't see that moment when you're sitting around fearful, wondering if what you're doing is actually working and the money you spent on that conference was even worth it. The thousands of dollars you spent on a plane ticket and airfare and the hotel and whatever else you spent money on, they don't even know that you spend that time wondering, did that even work? Is that even going to help me? When the reality is you've worked at it and worked at it and worked at it and read and read and read and learned and learned and learned and had those moments where you, you know, meditated and journaled and grew yourself over time till you get to the point where, gosh, you know, I know I can do this. I know that I can be successful. I know it. I know that I can do this 100%. I am on board with this. I know I'll do it. So I'll keep moving forward. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to make it no matter what. I'll get across that finish line because I believe in myself. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about that space between our ears, that 6 inches from one ear to the other that we've got to fix first if we want to be successful. And when I fixed that, as I said at the beginning of the show, that's when I realized, you know what, I can take this giant leap of faith in myself because I know that I'll figure it out. I know that I'll be able to take myself across the finish line. I'm ready for it. I believe in myself.
Absolutely. Yep. Couldn't have said it better, man. And that's it for the day. So I love it, man. So tell me, so you said in your 20s you had heard this thing, so I'm assuming you're about the, you know, like mid-30s, you know. So let's go back about 10 years, right? What was Bears doing 10 years ago? Who was Bears?
10 years ago, I was an elementary school band director. Before that, I had been a high school band director. And I loved my job. I really did. I loved, you know, we talk about changing lives. That's what I did. That's what I did when I taught high school. That's what I did when I taught elementary school. I really didn't. After I saw Les Brown on TV, I started to read some of his books, and I started to read personal development books and started to grow my mindset. And I was using it to help my students. I really saw from that moment on, I saw myself as a success coach for my students. I didn't see myself as a music teacher any longer. Music was the vehicle that I used to teach my students how to be successful, to create a mindset for success. So that's what I saw myself doing. And 10 years ago, I was traveling each day to a different elementary school. I would see 40 to 60 students a day. We'd pack them into a classroom. I'd have 11 saxophones playing at me. Notice I said the word at. They played at me in fourth grade and fifth grade. It sounds like a truck horn. And that's what I was doing. I was living a comfortable life in the home that I'm in still right now, going to work every day, battling traffic there, battling traffic on the way home, but all the while wanting more, wanting something else. Mm-hmm. And I literally, when I spoke to my students in my mind, I was on a stage. I was on a stage with 1,000 people in front of me. I had, you know, this in my mind, there was a screen on each side. There was music playing me onto the stage. There were 1,000 people in the audience. There were lights on me, and I had a lapel mic on, and I was speaking to the audience. So when I spoke to my students, I spoke to them. I felt, my body felt the emotion of being on a stage in front of 1,000 people with all those elements that I just described happening around me. And I spoke to them with that type of passion in my voice when I taught. Yeah, so that's what I was doing 10 years ago. I didn't know what I was doing then, but what I really was doing as I looked back was preparing myself for what would happen later on. I was asking the universe to put me in that place. And while I was doing that without me even knowing, the universe was conspiring to do that.
Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, it was pretty incredible. When I look back and see that path, it's pretty incredible to think about the things that fell in place to make it happen.
What will be, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was, I guess, about 4 years ago, I got a phone call asking me to speak on stage in New York for 1,000 people.
Wow.
With a lapel mic and a screen on each side with music playing me onto the stage, and there were 1,000 people in the audience. Now, here's the power of visualization. A lot of people think visualization is a lot of crap. So before I tell you my visualization story, let me give you a reason why visualization works. Last year, the Cubs won the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
In order to get the final out of the World Series, that's a tough thing to do. You've got to be nervous and scared all at the same time. And who knows who the ball is going to come to, or if the pitcher's going to get a strikeout, or what's going to happen to get that final out. The reason those players are able to do that in that moment that they have never, ever been in before. Sure, they've been in a baseball game with a stadium full of people, but they've never been there for the final out of the World Series, the out that will end the entire season and make them world champions. Especially the Cubs, who had been yearning to do this for their fans for like 90 years. I forget what the number of years was, but it's the longest drought of any club ever. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of pressure on them. The only way they could do that is to have been there before in their minds, because you can create that reality in your mind. And I didn't realize that that's what I was doing 10 years ago. Every day when I taught, every class that came into my classroom, which was many times up to 12 classes a day, I was on that stage. So 4 years ago when I got the call to do it, I immediately said yes. There was no hesitation in my voice at all. I was excited. This is the place I wanted to be. So I remember standing on the side of this room with 1,000 people waiting for my turn to go speak. I was all mic'd up, ready to go. They started to play the music for me to go up. They announced my name. I went up on stage. And most people getting on a stage that big the first time would be nervous. And it would make sense that you would be. Mm-hmm. I got there and I felt like, I remember this place. I've been in this place a lot of times. Yep. This is really familiar to me. This feels like home. I've been here a lot. And I was able to be my best and bring my best because it wasn't some place that was strange to me. It was very, very familiar. And it was the place I had been working to get in my mind. The universe conspired and put me there. And I prepared myself through my visualization. It was a pretty amazing feeling.
Man, you know, the one thing I do every time, no matter what.
I have to point out, you just said do. I just want you to know that. We've got to be silly. If you can't be silly and you can't have fun in life, there's no point.
So it's forever ingrained in the airwaves now. So what I – see, now you got me hesitating now. Now I'm, so
what I do
is when I go to my events that I'm speaking at, I go up on stage and I'm in my head saying what I'm going to say, but I'm doing the mannerisms. I'm looking. And I'm visualizing. I'm just standing there, you know. I'm moving around. I'm getting a feel for everything, you know. I always want to see my stage first. I always want to be there and visualize, because when I leave the stage and I go back to whatever meetings we're having and everything else, I can sit for a couple of minutes and close my eyes and I can picture, you know, a standing ovation and people raising their hands to ask questions and people who are, you know, yay, you know, that's great, and you know, whatever, you know, is going to happen. I'm already priming myself to know kind of what's going to happen. And so if it doesn't happen, I know what I have to do in order to make that happen. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
I always am on the stage visualizing first before I even go on.
You're preparing yourself. That's all you're doing. You're preparing yourself for whatever may happen. You know, a lot of people have job interviews, and when they go to their job interview, they're very nervous. The job interviews I've been on in my life, the only job interview I was nervous for was my very first one, because I'd never been there before. I'd never experienced it. I didn't know what to expect. So visualization would be even difficult because I had no idea what it would even look like. But after that, I had a feeling for what job interviews were like, and I would prepare myself in a way to know what to expect, to know what to do, to know what to ask, to know how to respond to things, to know if I was thrown a curveball that I could respond to it in a positive way. And when you are comfortable with what that uncomfortable situation is, because you prepared yourself, because you saw it ahead of time, because you practiced, then you can conquer anything. If you conquer it between your two ears first, you can conquer it in real life, because if you don't conquer it between your two ears first, you're not going to conquer it in life. It's a crapshoot at that point. It's just a guessing game. It's luck. if you put it in your mind first and you understand it then first, when it actually happens, it will seem as if it already did and you'll know what to do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So can you, looking back, can you pinpoint what exactly your transformation was for you? Was it more of a character development, or was it just developing the speaking skills, or just applying what you know and just charging for it? You know, what exactly was your transformation?
For me, I think I don't really feel like there was any one moment. I think it was cumulative for me, but
mm-hmm.
I think there's a moment when we all turn and change direction. And, you know, we can't change our lives all at one time, but we can change direction all at once. And what I mean by that is you may be going down a path in one direction. Maybe it's a specific career, or it's a mindset or a feeling, or maybe you're single in that moment when you propose to your girlfriend and you get engaged, you just changed direction, right? So you're not suddenly married. You're not suddenly that person with a family and kids and a more, but suddenly you did change direction. You started going in a different way. And the same thing can happen in life. You're going down a path and maybe you're unhappy with the way things are and you want to change them. You can't change it all at once, but you can change your direction. So the moment I feel like I changed direction was that moment that I saw Les Brown on TV. And it was, you know, for me, it was very, very clear cut. A lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my passion is in life. And when I saw him on TV, I knew right then and there that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's strange. I felt right away, not only that I should be doing it and that I wanted to do it, but I had the talent for it, that I had the ability to speak on a stage. And it didn't scare me to do that. I wanted it. I wanted it very badly. I felt like that was the reason I was here. So I wasn't afraid of doing it. I felt like I had the talent for it, and that just fueled my belief that was why I was placed here. And I started to speak to my students immediately in a different tone. So that was probably the moment. And ironically, it's really interesting. You know, we talk about the universe conspiring to give you what it is that you want. That happened somewhere around, I think it was 1993-ish, somewhere in that time frame. And I'm going to say it was 4 years ago, 3.5 mm-hmm. years ago. I don't remember when it was. I was with a friend of mine. We were both speaking together at an event. We had never spoken together before. In fact, at the time, he was an acquaintance. He wasn't really a friend. And we had just met each other. And after we spoke, I said, hey, let's grab a beer together. So we sat down and started talking and talked about what our life aspirations were, what our interests and goals were in life. And I said that I wanted to be a speaker and told him why and mentioned Les Brown. And the next thing he said to me put chills through my entire body.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my parents are friends with Les Brown.
Oh my God. Wow.
If that's not the universe conspiring to give you what it is you want, I don't know what is. That was in September or October. And by January, I was in Orlando, Florida with him and his dad, in a room with Les Brown and 25 other people.
Oh, my gosh.
And I found out, Les told me at that training event, that the PBS special that I saw him on was his big break.
Wow. That's awesome.
Pretty amazing.
That's a pretty amazing story that his break, his big, you know, break, debut, whatever you want to call it, his breakthrough moment was your breakthrough moment as well.
Right. Absolutely.
You
and you
know,
look, Les Brown has changed lives of millions and millions of people.
Sure.
So I'm not going to say this was a miracle. It's nothing like that at all. But here's a person who wanted that. I didn't know what I wanted in life. I knew I wanted something else. I saw him. I got it right away. And then years later, when I really decided to pursue being a speaker, all of a sudden, the doorway opened for me to go to a training with Les and meet him.
Chills right now, man. That is awesome. Les Brown, man.
Pretty cool
I love
stuff.
Les Brown. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah,
so were there a lot
like,
of people listening? I'm going to ask the people who are listening right now, what is it that you want? What is it that you are passionate about? And a lot of people don't know what that is, Sean. A lot of people, to be honest with you, I really believe that everyone knows what it is. But I believe it gets buried under to-do lists and responsibilities and stresses of life and driving the kids back and forth to soccer practice and having arguments at work and being, you know, oppressed at work and pushed around for different things and not paying attention to ourselves and being present and quiet in the moment with ourselves. And if you begin to peel the layers of those things off, I believe at the bottom of that laundry pile of life is that thing you're passionate about and that thing that your purpose in life, the reason you are plunked down here on earth. And I believe that that's where it is. It's below that big pile of junk that we've thrown on top of it in our closet. And it's sitting there waiting for us. So if you want to find out what that is, you've got to go on a soul search and get some quiet time for yourself. And I believe everyone has some big thing to contribute. They just need to find what it is. They need to clear all of the other things out of the way. I had someone message me on my fan page, and she wanted to know, she asked me, what makes you happy? Because I need to find out how to be happy. And she knows how to be happy for herself. I truly believe she does. No one's going to be able to say to her, hey, listen, this is what will make you happy. There is something that makes her happy, and it's made her happy in the past. And when that happens again, she'll recognize it. But she needs to peel those layers away, and she needs to get present with herself. I said to her, my response to her was, I said, I have, and these are my best friend's kids. They're not blood relatives, they're my best friend's kids. But I call them my nieces and nephew because that's how I feel about them. And I think that's how they feel about me. So her oldest daughter is about 6, and she is the kind of person who's happy all the time. And she will play on her own. If you're with her, she'll be present with you and talk with you, and she wants to play games with you. And whatever you're doing in that moment, whether it be coloring or a puzzle, she's happy doing that with whomever is there because she's happy like that. She has a brother and sister who are twins who are 2.5 years old. Now, they're happy kids too, but whatever you give one, the other wants. So there tends to be this fighting, and they're not content with what they have because they always want what the other person wants. And I think that we do that a lot of times. You know, some of us are very content and happy with what we have around us, and we accept that and say, this is great. I'm going to appreciate the moment for what it is. I'm going to be present in the moment. I'm going to be present with the people who are around me, and I'm going to be happy with that. While others are always thinking, I want that. That other person has that other thing, and I can't be happy. I'm unsettled right now until I get that. So instead of being happy, they're unsettled. And what if they never get that other thing? What if that's not what's meant for them in life? And then they end up being unhappy. Or what if that other thing doesn't happen for 10 years or 20 years? Are they going to spend their lives unhappy for 10 or 20 years until they get it? You've got to be present with yourself and enjoy where you are, who you are, and who's around you, and what you have. And everything else will flow to you so much easier when you are happy first. So get happy about where you are and what you're doing. A lot of the stress in life will be released because of that, and you'll find your purpose and your passion in life.
Boom.
Boom, you're
pretty
right.
Awesome. Boom. Mic drop. So looking back, what can you tell me what the best part about your whole transformation was or your journey up to this point?
The best part is this. I would, this isn't a guess, but I would calculate that in the last 3.5 years since I left my job, in fact, I'll say it like this, since I walked away from my job, I've met more people who have impacted my life in a positive way than the previous 52 years. And that's probably been the greatest thing that has happened from that transformation, because had I not decided to leave my job, let's face it, when we go to work and we come home. We go to work and we come home. And for the most part, we're around the same people all the time. Sure, we meet some people and they become acquaintances. And I met a lot of kids who are amazing. They're amazing adults now, and they're part of my circle of influence. And I've met their parents and things like that. But when I left my job, I began networking more and getting around more new people all the time, people who had the same mindset, people who had the same interests as me. And that's probably been the greatest blessing that's come from all of this, the new people that I've met, this network that I've built around myself, people like you that I would have never had the opportunity to meet. I could probably go backwards and find that trail of people that I met that led me to when you and I met almost a year ago. There's a definite trail to all of that. And I think it's fascinating. It's interesting. And that's the biggest thing that's happened. That's the biggest gift I got from this transformation.
That's awesome. So on the flip side of it, what do you think was the worst part about it all?
The worst part? Wow, that's tough. I've never even thought about that. I won't say the worst part. I'll say the most difficult part. How's that?
Okay.
Because I don't think
sure.
there's a worst. To me, the worst, I don't like that worst word. It's like almost like the word hate. So
yeah.
The most difficult part has been learning to budget my time and be sure that my time is mine. And I don't mean in a stingy way, but I mean in a way that they talk about when you get on an airplane and they say, if the oxygen masks drop down, put yours on first, because if you don't have yours on, you can't help someone
right.
else. And when it took
right.
me a while to understand that, because I like to help everybody and I like to be liked, right? That's a good
yeah.
thing, but it's also a negative thing. And because I like
yeah.
to be liked, I help people more than I should many times, and I don't help myself as much as I need to. So when I started to make that change and that shift, things started to get better for me. So that was the most difficult part, that learning process, that learning curve, that I had to put me first at times. And it's difficult because sometimes people get upset, and that's hard to do, but over time they relearn your new habits. You know, in the book, The One Thing, if you've ever have ever read that book, they
yeah.
teach you
uh-huh.
to time block and only check emails at a certain time of day, check them once or twice a day, and that's it. Only get on social media once or twice a day and time block yourself. So my time block is I've got a time block in the morning and I've got a time block later on in the day. And during that time, there are many times I don't respond to anything. And until people learned that I wasn't ignoring them, that, oh, Baird doesn't respond as quickly any longer. And that became
mm-hmm.
okay to them. They got used to that. Until that happened, then it was a little bit more difficult. And I felt badly for not responding. But in the end, it's the best thing for them. It's the best thing for me, because if I can't help me, I can't help them.
Very, very true. You can't fix what's going on around you until you fix what's going on inside you first.
That's right.
That's huge, man. Very huge. Cool, man. I appreciate you sharing.
And you know what? It's
a
lot like the way we work, right? We can't fix ourselves from the outside in. We've got to fix ourselves from the
right.
inside out, which is exactly why
yeah.
people who aren't prepared on the inside to have a lot of money when they win the lottery spend it all and it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to fix you from the inside out. And in the same way, if you want to help other people, you've got to help yourself first before you can help them.
Very, 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 very true. So I got – man, this is going to be huge. Who has been your biggest influencer?
I would have to say that's a really easy question for me to answer because it's the same thing, same person every single time. My mother was the most incredible person I've ever met. She was my best friend. She was the person who saw in me from a very young age what I didn't see until I was much older. I tell people she was not the perfect mom. No one's mom is the perfect mom, but she was the perfect mom for me. And she treated me and my two sisters not in the same way. She gave us what we each needed. And she was one of those people who could just sense what everyone needed. And I was like the kid who hung on to his mother's leg. I was scared of everything. I was afraid of my own shadow. And she worked very hard to get me to the point where I wasn't that person any longer. And I remember her having quotes up on the refrigerator all the time. She would hand me quotes. She would say, read this. And a lot of times it annoyed the daylights out of me. Like, enough, Mom. Leave me alone. But you know, I lost her 10 years ago to cancer. And I think about her every day, and I think of the things she taught me. And what I'm doing right now is what she was preparing me for my entire life. So she's been the biggest influence in my life was her.
Wow. Okay, on the flip side, who's been your biggest supporter?
My biggest supporter. I feel like that changes all the time. But I'm going to make it a group of people. It changes all the time because as you go through different parts of your life, different people are able to support you in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that way, I don't like to put that to any one person, but I would say my biggest supporter have been the group of friends that I've put around me who they just believe in you no matter what. And I would have to say that because they each support me in a different way in different areas of my life and at different times for what I need. So I'll give you an example. You're a huge supporter of mine. You're always,
absolutely.
You encourage me all the time and you give me credit for different things. And that kind of thing goes a long way. My best friend and his wife and his kids are great supporters of mine. They're not in this world that I'm in. They're in a different part of my life and they support me in that way. They feel like family to me and they support me in that way. Then I have, you know, other friends that have, you know, my friend Henry, who when I was a high school band director, I taught all three of his sons. And when I would say and do something stupid when I was 24, 25, 26 years old, instead of calling me on it, he came over and he said, you know what? Let me teach you a couple of things. And he got me on the road to reading personal development books and set me down on that path and got me loving things like that. And his kids are now in their 40s and they're great supporters of mine. They're friends of mine. I've been in two of their weddings. I held two of the babies when they were a day old. You know, that's just what my career, my past career as a band director brought to me. And I think as we meet people and we put them into our lives, if we allow them to, and we allow ourselves to see how they're doing it, we have a lot of people who support us all the time. I think it takes an army.
Yeah.
It takes a sea of people. But you've got to be open to that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When I'm speaking at the events, you know, I always talk about building yourself a board of directors. If every major CEO and every major company
has board meetings to talk about last quarter growth, this quarter growth, last quarter sales, this quarter sales. You know, and the main basis of the meeting is where are we going now? They're never just staying put. You know, it's where are we heading? What's the direction of the company? What's the direction that we want to go in? What are we, you know, what's the new stuff we're working on, right? I mean, it's always, it's like time. It never stops. It never goes backwards. It's always going forward, right? So if that's true, then why are more people not doing it for their life? You know, we all have five areas of our life that people can support us in that we all have in common. So it being wealth and finances, health, personal development, professional development, and then spirituality. Now, spirituality could be religion. It could be just a spirituality that you know there's like a higher universe, you know, whatever it is, right? It can be religious or non-religious. But those are the main five areas that, that probably 95% of the people have in common. And so if we build out and place people on our board of directors that elevate our lives, you know, I believe we'd be in a much, much, much better place, you know, as a country, as a, you know, everything. If we had those five people that, I could have even more than that. I got quite a few, you know, but just those five areas, if you could place people in your life, and guess what, if those people don't fit in that area, then see ya, time to go. You know, you don't serve me anymore. You know, you're not supporting me. You're not, you know, time to go. And I bet there'd be a lot of people out there that doing this exercise would probably be like, man, this person doesn't fit anywhere. They're just there. Oh crap. You know what I mean? It probably opens some people's eyes. So yeah, man, build yourself a board of directors and help people support you.
Well, you know, if you want to go from Pennsylvania to California, you have two choices. You can either drive yourself, and it will take you probably 5 to 7 days if you really hustle to get there. Or you can get in a plane and allow an expert to fly you there.
All right.
My question to the folks who are listening is, if there is a goal that you have, do you want to take the slow path or do you want to take the fast path? Personally, I'd like to get there as quickly as possible. So all I want to put together a team of people who can get me there faster. If you're willing to do that, to go from one part of the country to another part of the country, or even if you just take an Uber to drive someplace that's 20 minutes away, why aren't you willing to do that with the rest of your life? It just makes sense. And when I began to do that and put those people in place, wow, things got accelerated in a real hurry. In a real hurry.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing what happens when we surround ourselves with experts. There's a saying people have used, and I ascribe to this. When you become the smartest person in the room, it's time to get a new room. The problem is, Sean,
yep,
that most people want to be the smartest person in the room because it feeds their ego. It makes them feel better. It makes them feel more comfortable. Personally,
sure,
I want to surround myself with people who are smarter than me, who will lift me up and make me better and make me smarter. And when I become equal to them or greater to them, I'm going to find another new room. I won't leave them behind, but I want to go find another new room. It's always important to surround yourself with people who will lift you up and take you to that,
yep,
next place, to that next level that you want to get to. Otherwise, you stay in the same place all the time. And if you're in the same place, you're treading water, and eventually you'll get tired and sink.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. So tell us where you're headed now, man. What kind of new adventures, business, family? Where are you headed now?
Wow. So I'm in the process right now. We said my book is done, but it's actually written. It's the editing is getting finished, and it will be published probably in the next several months. It's called Break Down the Walls to Success. And so that's the biggest thing that I'm working on right now. At the same time,
mm-hmm,
I'm also working on creating a program for corporations. It'll be a 2-day intensive to go into corporations who want to train their teams to be better public speakers. So it's a 2-day intensive that I'm working on, and that should be ready to go in the next month or two as well. So they're
cool.
The two big projects that I'm working on right now that are taking up the overwhelming amount of my time in my life. I wake up till I go to bed, unless I'm doing something fun like this.
Cool. So if you had to go back, would you change anything?
You know, I would change. I don't think I would change the big things. The
right.
big things are the big things. And I would I have loved to be a motivational speaker 20 years ago? Yeah. But I wasn't that person back then. I was a band director back then, and I was learning to become the person that I am now. And I loved being a band director. I loved the people that I met. I wouldn't want to give them up. I wouldn't want to give them away. Someone the other day, I was talking with someone, and she was talking about having a different life. And I said, well, would you give up your grandchildren for that? She said, oh, no. I said, then what are you talking about? She said, yeah, you're right. I get it. So I wouldn't give up the big things, but there are small things that I would want to have be different. I think I'd want to be kinder for more of my life. I think when I was younger, I wasn't as kind. I was so engrossed in who I was and meeting my needs and the ego that went along with being a high school band director, that a lot of times I wasn't as kind as I should have been. So I think if there was one big thing that I would change, it would be that. I'd want to be kinder and more compassionate. And I think today I still want to be kinder and more compassionate than I am today.
Yeah. Perfect. So what do you think? Okay, so we're going to go two-parter, right? This is my favorite part. What was the best resource that you found with no one's help? Is this something you stumbled on and was like, wow, I love this? Something you found during your journey. What was it?
Wow, the best resource I found with no one's help.
Mm-hmm. We ask the hard questions on this show.
That is tough. The best resource I've found with no one's help. You know what? I'll tell you what. Here's what it is. So
okay.
this is going to be different from anything that anyone else would ever answer.
I feel a wind-up coming. I feel a wind-up.
It is. It's a wind-up. So about 6.5 years ago or so, I was listening every day in my car. I'd be listening to the recording of The Secret.
Okay.
And this one day, I was driving down the road, going to my favorite store, which those people who know me, they know it's Wegmans. I love going to Wegmans. I live in that place.
Yeah.
I go in there, the people recognize me now. So I was driving to Wegmans, and I just had this feeling that when I went in that day, something was going to change. I was listening to The Secret, and it was just in me. Something's going to happen today when I go in this store. I don't know what it is, but life's going to change today. Something big is going to change. And I met this woman. I was picking up some blueberries, and this woman started talking to me. Her name is Nancy. I refer to her as that crazy lady Nancy now. And she started talking to me and talking to me about this business. And we started having a conversation. And through that conversation, I met all of these incredible people. I met this gentleman, Jerry, who taught me about this other life that I could create for myself, who became like a mentor for me for many years and led me to all of these other people, who led me to my buddy Ed, who introduced me to Les Brown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that would be that thing that no one showed me. It just happened. It was just something that happened. And
awesome.
Yeah, that it would be that moment. That moment is when things changed very dramatically for me out of nowhere.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Okay. On the flip side of that, because there's always got to be a flip side, right? So who gave you the best resource that you used during your journey, and what was the resource?
My buddy Linton. His office was next door to my classroom. And until this point, Sean, I had never told anybody I wanted to be a motivational speaker, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I never shared it with anyone. I'd had a few of my students say, you know, you're like a motivational speaker. You should do that. I've had a few of my students say that to me, but I had never told anyone I wanted to do that. Even then, when they said that, I had already had it in my mind I wanted to do that, but I had never shared it, not with my family, not with my friends, no one. It was mine. That was mine, and I knew I wanted to keep it to myself because it was something that I was creating. And one day, I was talking to my buddy Linton. I was in his office, and we were having lunch together, and out of the blue, he said, "Baird, you should be a motivational speaker." And I looked at him and I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "I can hear it in your voice when you're talking to your students. Remember, I told you that I was visualizing myself on a stage,
right,
and the emotions going through my body were the same emotions that were happening as if I were on stage. I could feel that. So that was coming through in my voice and what I was projecting to my students, and Linton recognized it. And he said to me, "You should be a motivational speaker." I said, "That's what I've always wanted to do. I've never told anyone, but that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be." He said, "Well, I teach at Strayer University, and I want you to come speak there." So I took him up on the offer, and I did that. So he was the best resource that I had because he literally in that moment handed me on a silver platter what I did not have, and that was confidence. I didn't have the confidence and belief in myself that I could do that. So in that moment, and this is huge. If you're listening right now, I want you to write this down. If you don't have confidence and belief in yourself, borrow that confidence and belief that someone else has in you until you get it for yourself. So that day I borrowed Linton's confidence in me and said, "Yes, I'll go speak at Strayer." And I spoke at Strayer four times, and that's when I realized I have to do this and I know I can. So he was my greatest resource, and he's still my greatest resource. He's still one of my biggest cheerleaders.
That's awesome. You know, I'm amazed at the way that people live their lives sometimes. And there's a guy that Christopher Lockhead had on his podcast, Legends and Losers. Name is Bix Bixen, and he said that most people live in the reality of someone else's thinking,
right,
whether it be positive or negative, doesn't matter, but sometimes we live in the reality of other people's thinking. Now just unpack that for a second, and it's just like, if somebody tells me that I can't do it, you're like, "Yeah, you're probably right. That's not my thinking, that's their thinking, and you accepted somebody else's thought of you, and you chose to live your life according to their thought about you." Or like you said, you know, you borrowed his confidence. Like, he had the confidence and like, "All right, well, I guess I think I can do it." And so you're living in his, that you could do it. So whether it be positive or negative, I think that that guy's absolutely right, that some people live in the reality of other people's thinking. It blew me away.
Well, the reason people do that is because they want to have the easiest path. Our subconscious is meant to protect us. Our subconscious is there simply to protect us from danger. And our conscious mind is what teaches our subconscious what we believe is and isn't dangerous based on our experiences and the feelings that we get from them. So it's a lot easier most times to stay where you are than to venture out beyond that wall that I like to talk about and break down that wall and get into success, because that's someplace we're not comfortable being. People will have expectations of us in that place. They will expect us to deliver on a consistent basis in that place. Now, we may be already be delivering in this comfort zone we're in, but we're comfortable with that now. And we're doing the same thing that most people in society do, right? So as long as we're doing that, and you know, we're in debt, like our neighbors are in debt or our best friend is in debt. So as long as they're in debt and I'm in debt too, that's a safe place. That's okay. It's normal. And our subconscious says that's okay to do. Well, if you want to get into a better place, you've got to retrain your subconscious. So borrow the positive things from people that they say, not the negative things. Think consciously about, is this the right path for me, or is this just the more comfortable path for me? And make your choices that way, because you can retrain your subconscious to be comfortable at a different level. There's a quote. I love this quote. "Middle class are comfortable being comfortable. World class are comfortable being uncomfortable."
Mm-hmm.
And when you can get to that place, then you can break down that wall and get into that place of success and be unstoppable, because you can continually stretch who you are and go to that next place, continually the next place, the next place, the next place. Zig Ziglar says, go as far as the eye can see, and when you get there, you can see a little bit further. And if you approach life that way and not, when I'll go as far as the eye can see, I'll take a look and go back. No, go as far as the eye can see. And when you get there, you can see a little bit further. Now go there. And when you get there, you'll see a little further. Now go there. That's what we're meant to do in life, to continually move forward. If we weren't, we would all still be in the first grade.
Yep. Boom. Mic drop. I love it, dude.
I'm doing pretty well.
Dude, I love it. I'm gonna have like a Sports Center like mic drop counter.
You gotta get a sound effect for that.
Right? I should, man. I should get a sound effect. It's like boop. So here's the moment of the show. Shameless plug. For no other reason. You can plug a friend, quote, websites, Facebook, products, your favorite movie, whatever. This is your time to shine, as if you haven't already. But this is your time to shine, brother. So shameless plug whatever you want. Go.
All right, so I'm going to plug two things. My Facebook fan page, because I put a lot of content up there every single day that helps people, that helps people grow, that helps people think in a little bit of a different way, and sometimes in a lot of in a big different way. A lot of quotes go up there. I do videos. You definitely want to be there. And it's really easy to find. It's beargefan.com, B-E-A-R-J, like the animal bear with a J on the end, B-E-A-R-J, fan.com. That takes you to my Facebook page. Simply click the like button to like my page. And then click where it says follow and click the button there that says to – get alerts every time when things are posted. They get posted 4 times a day, and that way you won't miss anything that I post. So if you want to grow as a person, you want to grow your mindset, you want to grow and change your attitude and have a more positive attitude, that's a great place to go interact. You can share my stuff with people who need it, share myself with people you feel will benefit from it. If you want to write me messages on there, great. If you throw comments on there, I comment too. I like things. I share things with everyone else. And then the other place, if you're interested in having me speak someplace, if you go to beargespeaks.com, B-E-A-R-J speaks.com, you can go there and you can contact me through there, or you can just go to my fan page and send me a private message through my fan page. Either way is fine, but there are the two places. And if you go to beargespeaks.com, I believe you can, when you get there, as soon as you scroll, you'll be able to also get a free report that I have on how the 5 ninja success tips. I call them ninja success hacks. And I think, you know, they're easy things we can do in life to hack our way to success. We can hack our way through different things with, you know, I've already figured these things out. So go there, read this. It's like 8 pages long, and read it and find out some simple things you can do right away to start to shift your mindset and put you on a path towards success.
Perfect. I love it.
And so they should also check out your stuff, because you've got a great page too. And you should come back to this radio show. How many days a week? Is it 5 days a week, Sean, that you have this?
No, it's the show is on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and every first and third Friday at the same time, 5:30 Eastern. However, I do special pop-up episodes. Like on Monday of this week, I had Bruce Buffer on the show, and you know, I had a special pop-up episode. And then yesterday was Greg Reed, amazing author, speaker, and human being. And it was the only day that he could do it for like another month. And I was like, dude, let's do it, man. I do like a trifecta. You know what I mean? So dude, you followed some amazing people, and you're amazing in yourself. And so, yeah, man, Wednesdays and the first and third Fridays, that's when I do them. And then scattered will be these special, like, pop-up episodes.
Okay. So, guys, you heard that. Tune back into this. You know it's going to be here on Wednesdays for sure. So jump in on Wednesdays, and once they get into it, they can see all your other episodes. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So this is free content, folks. This is a free way to grow your mindset. Don't ever say I can't afford a book or can't afford an audio. You've got this for free.
Yep, and it's uploaded to iTunes and Stitcher the next day following the episode.
There you go.
Upload it automatically.
Can't beat that.
So as we wrap up, I want you to deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone.
The best one. Okay. I'm going to make it really simple.
Okay.
It's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you are not.
Mm-hmm. Boom. I love it. That's awesome.
That's simple. Change who you think you are. Change your life. Change your thinking. Change your life.
Yep. Reframe your mind. Reframe your life.
The only difference between you and someone else who's successful, they're actually doing what you want to do. So you just need to do the same thing. But the thing that holds you back is who you think you are not.
Yep. So sometimes what happens is people are like, oh, man, I can't even afford that, and I don't know how I want to do that. And I don't know. And they get down in their thinking. Successful people don't say, oh, never mind, I can't afford it, I'm not going to do it. They say, how can I afford that?
Right.
How can I do that? Let's make this happen. And they make it happen no matter what they do. They make it happen no matter what. So, yeah.
Look for reasons. Don't look for excuses.
Yep. Look for reasons to become successful, not reasons or excuses not to be. I love it. Yep, absolutely. So we always end the show with a call to action. What is your call to action? What should someone do today? Buy products, a book, or set a goal, plan something, write in a journal, whatever it is, what is your call to action?
Okay, so if you're listening to this, at some point you probably thought to yourself, I need to do that. There may have been something I said, something that Sean said, and you thought, I should do that. I should go get a book. I should go get an audio, or I do need to read something more. I need to study this, or I need to take action on this, or I need to think this way, or I need to change my direction 180 degrees. Whatever that thing was that you thought in your mind and in your heart, I need to do that. Do it. As soon as we end, or even before we end, do it. Take action right away. Successful people take action quickly. Unsuccessful people do not. They take a long time to ask their broke Uncle Harry what he thinks and end up never doing anything. Take action, take action, take action. Fast and swiftly. That's it.
Yeah, man. You got to take action. Make it happen no matter what. I always tell people, be relentless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. If it's something that you want to do, you are relentless in that pursuit, and you never make excuses. I bet there's so much time that people waste doing things that just doesn't matter and has nothing to do with their purpose or passion, but they waste time on it. If I could figure out how to shut my Facebook news feed off, I would, because I get sucked in and I'm like, oh, never mind. Okay, let me figure out what I was doing here. You know, you get sidetracked. I mean, the average attention span nowadays is like 9 or 10 seconds. You know, you're always waiting for another text message or an email or another Facebook post or another, you know, it's just, you can only hold attention for about 9 or 10 seconds. And it's just how it's wired nowadays. So take direct action. Don't just throw spaghetti at the wall and see if it's going to stick. Like, take precise, strategic, thoughtful action, but take massive action to achieve success.
And then do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next
rinse
day.
Rinse and repeat.
And the day after that.
Yep. I love it. Absolutely. Nation Radio listeners, we are live with Bears Jahanian. The call-in number is 657-383-1109. If something resonated with you, give us a call. Let us know. Like, share, comment on Facebook. Rate their show. Review it on iTunes and Stitcher. Bears, dude, I loved every minute of this. This has been amazing. Do you have any last words, man?
Thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Dude, I love it, man. I love 8 countries, man. The show's listened to in 8 countries. I've been doing this about 2 months now, and, dude, I'm loving every minute of it. I get to meet some amazing guests and kind of pick their brains and see what they're doing, and I have a front row seat, man, to some of the greatest minds that are doing some very impactful things. And you know, I met you last year at the One Life Fully Lived conference, and we've kept in touch, and you've inspired me as much as I've inspired you. And, man, I can't wait to continue the friendship that we've cultivated, man.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate this. I appreciate the opportunity. This is a great show, and, folks should continue to listen to it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this is another amazing episode with more amazing guests. And listen every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays, and then the first and third Fridays. But beware, we'll have special pop-up episodes. So as we close the show, I want you to remember one thing. Live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live the values that you hold deep inside. I call it living your brand. And until next time, remember, live your brand. Have a good night.